We are talking about bald eagles on the show today. I'm Jill Najoe, and this is the Larry Mueller Show. Back with us are John Keefe, this year's co-chair for Bald Eagle Watching Days, and Jeb Barzin, a wildlife biologist and eagle researcher, and both have been members of the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council for over 30 years. What questions do you have about bald eagles? Are you looking forward to attending Bald Eagle Watching Days this weekend? Well, we'd like to hear from you, so give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. It's always good to hear about what's going on. Now, John, last year, Bald Eagle Days, you know, it was virtual. How did that go last year?
For the first time going all virtual, I thought it went extraordinarily well. This year, though, we're going to go hybrid with a combination of virtual shows and live shows at the River Arts Center in Sauk Prairie. And those shows will be on Saturday only, and then eagle watching on Friday and Sunday, as well as Saturday, and the entire eagle season. So it's an opportunity to come out and see the birds live.
So if someone wants to, they can't make it out for some reason, where can they go to see all this virtually?
The main source would be through the website, the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council. And that address is fairybluffeaglecouncil.org. And that's fairy as in the boat fairy. You can go there and just click on the events and schedules and the other prompts that you may find on the webpage.
And we also have a link to that on our webpage. So it's just wpr.org/Larry. Look for this program and you'll see the link right underneath the description. So you can go there also. So this event is, but this is the 35th year now, isn't it?
Yes.
How much has it changed over the years?
I can think of a couple different ways. One is the number of eagles. You know, when we first started, you know, shortly after DDT was banned, number of eagles in the state was pretty small. They have climbed astronomically statewide. During the wintering season, when the eagles are along the lower Wisconsin Riverway here, it varies from year to year because of weather conditions, snow on the ground, ice on the river, all these kinds of things. So the numbers of eagles overall are more than usual, but that may vary from year to year and week to week here on the Riverway. Lately, we've seen a number of eagles there, so we know they're back in the area. One of the things that has not changed is the enthusiasm for the eagles. They seem like all the time people enjoy seeing these birds in the wild. The other big change that we've seen, as you mentioned before, is having gone hybrid. And this year we'll have a combination of virtual. All the shows will be live streamed, but people can also come to the River Arts Center in at the high school in Sauk Prairie and see the shows live if they prefer. So they've got a choice.
Jeb, why don't you tell us about the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council itself? How has the organization involved in the event?
Well, there are four co-sponsors of Eagle Watching Days, and Fairy Bluff is one of the co-sponsors, and we've been a co-sponsor since 1988. But the other co-sponsors are the Tripp Memorial Museum, which is in Prairie du Sac. The Department of Natural Resources has a Bureau of Natural Heritage Conservation, and they actually were really the founders of Bald Eagle Watching Days long ago when they just set up in what was then the Firehouse Restaurant. And they should have credit for actually being the first ones to think that maybe people would love to gather and appreciate eagles. And then the Sauk Prairie Chamber of Commerce is our other co-sponsor of Eagle Watching Days. And quadpartite, if that's just to make up a word.
I like it.
that group is a nice reflection of conservation in action. We have a government conservation organization. We have a nonprofit organization. But we also have a cultural history that's a part of that. So who we as a people are. And we also have our Chamber of Commerce. And Eagle Watching Days is a unique event because it's our community, our human community that supports Bald Eagle Watching Days and makes us able to bring it to people free of charge and into a broad array. So this hybrid sort of thing where learning a lot from, as we all are learning in these COVID days, but that we can reach more people having this remotely, but also engage people who come to our community.
And that's something we need to emphasize. Everything is free, right? You can do all this great stuff for free. So if you can get out there, it's free. Let's go to the phones. We've got Russ in near Kellogg right now who has a comment for us. Hi, Russ.
Hello, I'm mobile, but I'm on the Minnesota side, and I just came up past on Highway 61 past the Lock and Dam, Whitman Dam, which is 10 miles north of Winona. And I mean, I see bald eagles all the time on Highway 61. It's a great place to, if you want to see them sitting in the trees and so forth. But it's the first time I've seen between 40 and 50 of them together, all on the edge of the ice, under, you know, where the open water below the dam meets the ice. Literally 40 to 50 bald eagles sitting out there right now. I mean, it's incredible.
Great. Well, thank you, Russ. Glad for sharing that. Go ahead, Jeb.
Well, so I think Russ is spot on. There are three primary winter areas that eagles utilize during winter. And one is along the Mississippi River, along the a wide stretch of river, but in particular, Winona to Lansing, Iowa, which is it's about a 60-mile stretch of river, has a large number of eagles that you can see there, and it's always a wonderful sight. And seeing 40 eagles in one field of view is not an uncommon experience. But the other winter areas are, of course, our area along the lower Wisconsin River. And then finally, there's a group of eagles that winter in the Fox Valley area. What I would say in terms of the differences in experiences, the Mississippi River Valley is a broad open landscape, and typically you're seeing eagles at a greater distance because you're looking at them over, say, 2 or 3 miles in terms of where you're seeing birds. In the lower Wisconsin area, you're seeing them relatively closer because the Wisconsin River Valley is a narrower valley. And so you have a little bit more of you don't see as many eagles, but you have a more intimate experience with eagles.
Okay. We did get a call from Tom in Milwaukee. He couldn't stay with us, but he said he's seen bald eagles even in Milwaukee County. And I know we've heard that for the last year or two, that eagles are in every county now. Is that right, Jeb?
Eagles are nesting in 71 counties for sure. And I can't remember if Milwaukee County actually has a recorded nesting eagle, but you can certainly see eagles in Milwaukee County. But the actual technicality of nesting eagles, I'm not sure if they've surmounted that final barrier.
Okay, so that's the technical aspect. You may see them, but if they're not nesting, you don't necessarily count them as being in that county. Is that how that works?
No, well, you can count them as being in that county, but it's usually when we give the statistics, we talk about where the birds are nesting.
Okay.
And they're nesting in all in 71 of the other Wisconsin counties, but I don't think they're known yet to nest in Milwaukee, but you have great listeners in the Wisconsin Public Radio Network, and I would be perfectly happy to have them correct me and provide some data that we can add Milwaukee as a county with nesting eagles.
Wonderful. So if you've seen an eagle nest in Milwaukee County, let us know. We want to hear from you. John, why don't you tell us what's new to the event this year? What are people going to see they haven't seen before?
Well, I think one of the big things is the array of choices that people have to make a decision as whether or not they want to come and see the eagles live, which we like to encourage, especially along the riverway. But there are events on Saturday, and masks are required, by the way. and at the River Arts Center, where we'll have a videotape of Marge Gibson of Raptor Education Center up in Antigo releasing a rehabilitated eagle on Saturday. And the full schedule is on our website. And that will be followed with a live question and answer session with Marge and Jeb moderating that from the River Arts Center. We'll also have return performances by the Schlitz Audubon Society, which has a wonderful educational bird of prey show, which includes an eagle as well as other raptors, sometimes a falcon, owl. It varies a little bit in terms of the other raptors year to year. And David Stokes, who is a really funny, informational, educational person who does a show with talking with animals, some live, some not live, but a good show. Over at the Tripp Museum, which is in Prairie du Sac, right on Water Street, there's also going to be a cycle of shows, one on Old Abe, the Civil War eagle from that came to down with the soldiers and went to, into the Civil War battles. A local family, you know, gave that eagle to the soldiers. And so that family, the LeCours, tells the story. And then we have Art and Dawn Shigoni, Native Americans, talking about the eagles in the Native American cultures. One other thing that has been added that I think has been expanded a little bit this year is a self-guided eagle tour, which people can access on their mobile device. And you just go to our website at FairyBluffEagleCouncil.org, and you'll find a prompt that says go to self-guided eagle tours, and that'll take you there. And you can go to the sites yourself. And I'll explain to you what you should be seeing there, eagles soaring, fishing, perching, a variety of activities there. So,
and there are other areas where you can go, and there are people there that can talk to you about what you're seeing, right?
That is correct. The Overlook in Prairie du Sac, which is right downtown Prairie du Sac on the river, on Water Street, next to the municipal parking lot, has been remodeled and expanded. So we will have volunteers there this weekend to answer questions. But that is just about a quarter of a mile, a little over a quarter of a mile away from Eagle Island, which is in the middle of the river. And eagles are frequently perching there, sometimes coming off and going down and fishing and coming back. So it's a great spot, along with the dam up north of Prairie. And the VFW park there in Prairie. All of those are good sites to visit. And they are on the mobile app if you want to do that by yourself.
Great. Well, we're talking with Jeb Barzin and John Keefe about Bald Eagle Watching Days. That's coming up this weekend. What questions do you have about the event or about eagles in general? Our lines are open. Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Mackenzie Crummy is our on-air producer today, and Tyler Ditter is our technical director. This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. After 11:45, we're going to talk about the process and the business of making maple syrup. Right now, we're talking about eagles. And Jeb, I was going to ask you, you know, we've had some, this weather has been a little odd. We've gone yesterday from minus to 30 degrees. So does that make a difference in the amount of eagles that we see, or don't they care about the weather?
Oh, they care about the weather.
Okay.
But they don't care about it in the same way that we do.
Okay.
So the more ice and snow that we are, let me back up. So the along the lower Wisconsin River, birds, eagles can be distributed from the Prairie du Sac Dam all the way down to Lone Rock, Wisconsin, which is about a 35-mile stretch of river. So if you take a couple hundred eagles but spread them out over that sort of distance, it doesn't look like there's many eagles that are in the area. And so when the water is open, they can find fish anywhere along that, and they tend to be scattered out over that stretch of river. But as the amount of ice increases, food availability decreases because they can't get to the fish even if it's there because it's got ice hiding it, basically. Or it has snow on the ground in the agricultural areas where the birds can find carrion. So as there's more ice and more snow, the birds tend to shift upriver and become much more concentrated in the Sauk Prairie area because the dam keeps the water open during that period. So when we have a period like what we've had now where we've had an extended period of cold weather and we've had a fair amount of snow, the birds are going to tend to be concentrated more in what we call the upriver reaches of the overall winter area. When we get a longer period of warm weather, enough to melt some of that ice, then the birds will be more in the downriver areas. And that's one of the things that the app does, is it's coordinated with the counts that we do of eagles in terms of their locations. And we describe if most of the birds are downriver or upriver so that you have an idea of where to go to look for the eagles. And right now, birds are predominantly concentrated upriver. So even though we've had, today is warm, you know, especially compared to yesterday or the day before, it's not enough to really to change those ice conditions. And so the birds are still going to be, for the most part, upriver.
So it's looking pretty good for your location then.
Yep. For Eagle Days, we should have good numbers of eagles in the area, which is always wonderful news. The event and the ecology coordinate.
Definitely. So you did a good job talking to those eagles and having them in your area. Let's go to the phones. We've got Bob in Madison who has a question. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Hey, your comments that you had just made may have stole my thunder, but I'm a truck driver, so that's neither here nor there, other than the fact that I sit pretty high. But one year, probably 15 years ago, I was going over the Mississippi River in La Crosse, and it was late winter. There was a big melted spot, you know, hole, and there must have been 8 or 9 bald eagles full grown right on the edge of the ice. And I thought that was so peculiar because I always thought bald eagles were more lone characters. And I mentioned it to a friend of mine who lives in, not in La Crosse, but in Wisconsin his whole life. And he thought I was crazy. He said, "You must have seen something else." I saw it. So the following year, he calls me and says, "You know, I saw the same thing just now." It's like, maybe you're not so crazy after all. So again, the question I have is that, you know, being that they tend to be rather lone, you know, birds, is that common? Obviously, it seems like it is. So that's my question and comment. I'll take my, I'll listen on the air.
Jeb?
Well, to try and be politically adroit, both answers are correct. So the eagles can be isolated and territorial, but in the summertime. So they are territorial when they are on their breeding areas and they have a nest and they're defending areas where they're going to find food to give to their young. But they're not territorial in the wintertime when they're aggregated. They tend to stay as far north as possible because they want to get back to those territories as quickly as possible. And in the wintertime, therefore, they'll gather together when they have to. So they're no longer territorial. And you'll see that change in behavior. So the birds are both can be isolated, as you were describing, but also can be gathered in groups, depending upon the season of the year that you're looking at them.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Let's go to Bill in North Hayward. Hi, Bill.
Yes, good morning. My story is about my brother passed away here. He was a young man in Sparta, and we were at the cemetery for a funeral. The priest was giving prayer over the gravesite, and I'm sure it was a very nice prayer, but coming in over the cemetery was a large eagle who actually circled that cemetery. I believe the priest gave an eloquent prayer, but I don't think anybody heard very much of it. They were all concentrating on that beautiful eagle. Thank you.
Wow.
You know, the eagles are, Menominee tradition, for example, are that the eagle is the means to send your prayers to heaven or to God or to however that is perceived. And so it's not, I think it's more than that the birds are just beautiful. The grace certainly inspires us and the beauty inspires us, but we really link our beings and our, how we see the world with these wildlife with whom we coexist. And that Menominee tradition is a beautiful sort of way of evidencing that linkage. And it's something that we naturally feel. And it's a really important thing of what we use in conservation to try to, if we do our job right, we can link people back up with our natural world as well as our living world. And so in the lower Wisconsin, the community of Sauk Prairie shares habitat with eagles. And if we do a good job, that can continue in a sustainable way well into the future. If we don't do such a good job, then it will disappear. It doesn't persist through some other right that's independent of our own actions. And so that linkage is a really critical thing. I'm really glad that you presented that, Bob.
Yes, thank you, Bill.
Or Bill, I'm sorry.
Bill, no, thank you for sharing that with us. Let's next go to Janet in Madison. Hi, Janet.
Hi, good morning. Just a quick share. You mentioned with Eagle Days how it's nice to be able to see them fly, perch, and fish. And one year when I was down for Eagle Days, I got lucky enough to see one bathing, an eagle bathing. And of course, they have to bathe, but I never thought of it really before. They seem so regal, and you think of them, again, flying, perching, hunting. And there he was, just like any other bird that you'd see in our little bird bath, you know, fluffing and shaking his tail feathers and doing all these little bath antics. It was super fun to see. I hope somebody else will get that chance, too.
Great. Thank you, Janet. And there's lots of opportunities to see things like that, right, John?
Yes, something to watch for if you're on the river there. When an eagle is soaring around, dives down for a fish, he's not going to come up with, you know, a 20-pounder every time, maybe once in a great, great while. But they'll come up with a small fish. And one of the ways that you can tell whether or not they have actually caught anything on that dive is on their way back, they usually go back to the tree perching area to eat the fish. They will bring their feet up to their mouth, and they will start eating the fish before they get back to the tree. And part of the reasons for that is there are sometimes eagle food fights, and other eagles think they need to share what the lucky one caught. So it's one of those interesting little dynamics to watch for when you're seeing if they don't move their talons up to their beak, well, then they probably didn't catch anything. But if they do, you know, they've got a morsel to chew on.
Okay, great. Thanks for telling us about that, Janet. Let's go on to Mike in Algoma. Hi, Mike.
Hi, good morning. A couple questions I have. On Highway 21 over by Amara on the east side of the state, there's a power line that crosses the road. And if you look down, you'll see that there's nests up on two of the poles, one on either side of the road. They've been up there for quite a while. They're huge. And I'm assuming they're eagles' nests. But the question would be, do you know if the power companies encourage nest building? They haven't seemed to discourage it, because those have been up there for quite a while. And then the second question would be, I've got a power line that crosses my property, and I would be happy to donate something. I don't know how much it would cost if, in fact, there's a program where the power company will put a platform up for eagles to nest in.
Jeb, do you know?
I don't know if Alliant Energy, for example, has a particular program to encourage nesting on some power poles. Nesting is most likely on the power poles that, I don't know how to describe them, but are the metal gridded power poles that are quite large. But the actual species that is utilizing them more often than eagles are ospreys. So they also build very large nests, and they tend to be build them much more frequently on these larger power poles, and eagles are less likely. Now, of course, as soon as I'm saying that, I'm sure somebody's going to have an example of an eagle on a gridded power pole, an eagle nest. But, you know, so there are exceptions. But in general, when you see those nests, it will tend to be ospreys that are doing it. But I don't know if the power companies actually encourage that. It's sort of a balance that they want to strike, because if the nest is in the right place, it's okay for the power company, and that it won't create problems for power transmission. Or it might, and if it's in the right place, it will be okay for eagles. But it's a very delicate balance, because if you change the locations of those nests a little bit, eagles could be ospreys could be susceptible to electrocution, or they could disrupt power. So it's kind of a delicate balance. But I don't honestly know if the energy companies have a particular policy related to that or not.
Could Mike contact them? That might be the best way to go. Ask them.
I think so. The power companies do have biologists that are working with them, and I think reaching out to them would be a good idea. In fact, they might even have something on their website.
Mm-hmm. I would think. Now, speaking of nests, eagles go back to the same nests year after year, don't they?
Well, we think so. We don't actually have all that great of data for it, because it's hard to mark an eagle in such a way that you can collect that kind of information. But it's quite likely that the same pair comes back year after year to nest. Occasionally, they'll build another nest. Sometimes their nest will fall because of the sheer mass of the nest. And often they're in dead trees, for example. And so the tree will break, or when we have winds like we had this fall, the tree can be toppled. But sometimes eagles will have more than one nest in their territory, but won't occupy both of them, so that they'll have a spare nest might be a bit too flippant. But, it's another nest that they, for one reason or another, have constructed but aren't using currently.
Okay.
So sometimes you'll have more than one nest in a territory.
So they can rent it out for like an Airbnb just to or visiting.
Nah, they're not. They don't have that economic model in mind. In fact, they'll keep eagles out. That's the part of territoriality that is quite serious from the eagle perspective.
I'm sure it is. Let's go to David in Stoddard. He has a comment for us. Hi, David.
Hi. Great show. I listen to Larry all the time. And what my story is down at Goose Island Park, down by La Crosse, Wisconsin, they have a songbird trail back by the campground. And if you take the south trail, when you get to the corner of it, you look out in the marsh, there'll be three big, tall trees, and all three of them have eagle's nests in them, and they're occupied. And the actual songbird trail is great, because that day I went out there with a friend of mine, I probably fed 10 different species out of my hand.
So one of the things that's absolutely fascinating, John referenced this, that in 1972 we had what we think we had 108 occupied nesting territories for eagles in the state of Wisconsin. Our estimates now are roughly 1,600 birds. I can't remember the exact number, but it's a whole lot more. What's interesting is this population has increased, as we're seeing all kinds of behavior that we never thought we would see with eagles. So in 1972, the idea of a ideal habitat for a nest of eagles was a big white pine up above all the other trees in the forest, and the eagle would be on that tree, and it would be close to a lake. That was thought to be the best eagle habitat. But now, in that area that you're describing, there is the highest nesting density of eagles known anywhere in the world. And it's a really dense population of nesting birds. And in part, that density can be reached because there's a lot of resources. If there are more resources, the birds can have smaller territories, but also they'll have smaller territories because they're forced to do so. So that bed and breakfast idea, Jill, that you were talking about sort of comes into play in that as you have more eagles, you have to spend more time trying to defend your territory, and you'll only defend as large a territory as necessary to feed your young in this case. And so as there are more eagles, those territories get smaller, and you can actually have relatively small territories on the Mississippi River because there's an abundant food supply and the birds have the appropriate nesting habitats. And so you've got a density that's far higher than that ideal nesting habitat that we thought existed in northern Wisconsin, where we had the one eagle nest in a white pine. The reason why the population survived there was because DDT was a contaminant and you were about as far away from DDT as was possible to get in Wisconsin. And so that's where the birds persisted. But it wasn't because that was the best habitat for them necessarily. And we're learning all sorts of things about what is good habitat now that DDT is no longer causing the problems and now that the population has rebounded. And so that observation that you see a lot of nesting birds in areas that we didn't think that they would nest in and at a very high density has to do with that recovery. And the eagles are teaching us all kinds of things about what the real world is like for eagles.
It must be pretty exciting for someone like you who's been in the bird business for so many years. Yeah. Thank you, David, for telling us about that. And speaking about, you know, eagles doing well, there is this lead issue with some birds. And in fact, we're going to be talking about it next Wednesday on the show. Are the eagles having problems with, you know, picking up the lead shot or some of the other things that are in the environment and getting sick from that?
Lead is a huge problem for eagles, and they get access to lead possibly through coming into contact with fishing lures, which often have lead in them. But their primary access to lead is likely from rifle ammunitions during the deer season. And lead ammunition, when it goes through a deer, fragments into very, very small parts. And those small parts can get distributed fairly broadly in the animal. And then when an eagle eats the gut contents that are left as somebody has dragged the deer out to eat the meat, the eagles will eat those gut contents and they can come into contact with those lead fragments. And very, very small pieces of lead can result in a toxic level of lead in the blood and lead to all sorts of problems and even death for eagles. So Marge Gibson at the Raptor Education Group Incorporated up in Antigo, she deals with a large number of lead poisoned birds every year, and it's a very expensive treatment to recover those birds. But as important, lead ammunition, when used on deer, threatens our health because we're eating that same sorts of lead fragments that can be in the meat, and you don't know it because they're tiny little fragments that are in the meat. And it's really important that this is an issue about our health as well as eagles' wildlife that are coming into contact with that lead. And there are some wonderful solutions. Copper ammunition does not have the toxicity issues that lead does, and they're actually an often more viable ammunition to use for deer hunting because they have better characteristics that result in success when you're hunting deer. And so it's a big issue for eagles. It's not limiting their population as best as we can say, but a lot of eagles are dying from lead because of they're still able to find it in the environment due to the use of lead ammunition for rifles.
Okay, thanks for that info. Linda from Milwaukee called, but she couldn't stay with us. But she says she saw a bald eagle nest in Milwaukee County. She said it was on Brown Deer Road east of Fond du Lac. So, and that's Fond du Lac, the road, not the city, so I'm assuming. So there we go. We have a sighting. So now we just need to get it confirmed. So maybe they are there. So thank you, Linda, for sharing with that. So, John, why don't you tell us a little bit again about what people can find on the website when they go there so that they can be more informed when they go to the event this weekend?
There's really a variety of options there. The event and the description of Eagle Days this weekend, there's a detailed schedule of the events, the times, the who's doing what, where, all of that kind of thing. There's also the connection to the self-guided Eagle Tour and the app for your mobile device there. There's also a way to connect to YouTube and look at some of the videotaping, not only from this year, but from previous years of programs here. So there are a variety of things. There's information, too, about the roost counts that Fairy Bluff Eagle Council does a couple times a month. And that is just full of all kinds of good information, not only where they are at the last roost count, so you've kind of got an up-to-date estimate of that, but how they change and move up and down the river, even during the winter season itself. So there, that and quite a bit more there for people to look up. There's also a donate button there too, for those who might want to share their generosity, let's say.
There you go. There you go. One other thing that always makes me think when I go to an event like this, what about parking? We want to go to all these places. Is there plenty of parking for people?
There is. Example, at the dam, which is about a mile north of Prairie du Sac, right off of Highway 78, you go up there. The first road north of the industrial park is Dam Road. And you go down to a parking lot, a rather generous parking lot below the dam there, where you have an excellent viewing area of not only the eagles out over the water. There are some perching areas right to your right in some trees about maybe 50, 100 feet downriver from that parking lot. So there's plenty of parking there. And we do encourage people to stay in their cars because getting out of the cars has a tendency to spook some of the birds. And then they just go further away. You really don't get closer. The VFW Park is another good place to look at the eagles, which is right in town, about four blocks north of the stop sign for the Highway 60 bridge. And it has just all kinds of open areas where you can look at the eagles. Likewise, there's a municipal parking lot right there by the Overlook in downtown Prairie du Sac where you can. At the River Arts Center, that's at the high school. The kids aren't there during the weekend, and so there's plenty of parking there at the high school.
And that's one thing really quickly before we wrap up here, Jeb, as far as the safety for the birds go, there are rules really for people to consider when they're looking at them, aren't there?
Well, you know, basically, as John was saying, stay in your car. It's a great blind, and the eagles are less likely to be disturbed if you stay in your car. And the general rule of thumb is keep your distance and be in areas where people normally are, and the birds will be fine.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both so much for being with us. We really appreciate it. We've been talking with Jeb Barzin and John Keefe from the Bald Eagle Watching Days event, and that's coming up this weekend. You can find out more by going to fairybluffeaglecouncil.org. And again, that's ferry like the boat, F-E-R-R-Y. Or you can call the Sauk Prairie Area Chamber of Commerce, too, 800-683-2453, if you don't have internet access. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We'll be right back to talk about the business of making maple syrup.